I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength there is nothing we can do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. We will not be overcome.
Hallelujah. The same power that's in Christ lives in us. How many of us believe this in this day and age? Have you listened to the news? What's going on down south? They're passing abortion laws. Now they're trying to, well, they're doing it actually. When the baby is born, they then decide whether it should live or not. It's incredible. It's unbelievable what is going on. And then they pass a bill. They need to protect the caterpillars, some worm. That's what it has come to. And good thing this guy got called who tried to pass one of those bills. One of those guys got called for being a Ku Klux Klan member. He may lose his job by the grace of God. I was listening to Trump in the debate in 19. They had it on. He was arguing with Hillary Clinton, and Hillary was explaining on the abortion thing. And Donald Trump opened his mouth and said, if you want to rip the baby out in the 9 months, that is not right. Here's what I feel. If you want to rip the baby out in the first 20 minutes or half an hour, it's not right. So she's alive, he's alive. The moment the heart beats, you leave it alone. It has become a creation of God, and you better not touch it. Because they're going to take revenge one of these days on their mothers. Isn't that interesting? We'll see what will happen. It's going to heat up from now on. For those of us who watch the politics in the States, I love it because I can see how God is arranging stuff. It doesn't quite line up with my theology, though. I always figured it's going to get worse and worse till finally the Lord will rescue us from this awful place. But when you do study Scripture, the church will prevail. It'll keep back the evil until it is taken out of the way. So while we are here, we're the salt of the earth, whether we act it or not. God said, you're the salt of the earth. While we're here, we're keeping back the Antichrist. And while we're here, we need to make sure that we stand strong in what we believe, in what Scripture teaches. And today I got an interesting message that kind of should give us a challenge to the point, because the church world in the Western civilizations are kind of asleep. But I seem to think, and I see it on the internet, they're starting to raise up. They're starting to understand that they do have responsibilities, that you don't sit back and say, well, the abortion clinics are doing a big job, I guess that's the will of the Lord. You don't sit back and watch these things take place and not do anything. So people are starting to rise up to the occasion and say, God put us in place to hold back the evil, and we need to do it. So the question is, which tabernacle do we listen to? Matthew chapter 17 in verse 4, put it up before we get the message. And when Peter, James, and John were up in the Mount of Olives, they were up in the Mount of Transfiguration, there were Peter, James, and John, and answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And we all know the rest of the story. A cloud covered them, and they heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. Hear you him. How many of you know that this is the words of Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that was in the beginning with God. So the Word and Jesus, you do not separate. There are people on the internet who argue we believe in the writings of Jesus, but not in the Apostle Paul. I got news for them. The same Spirit that prompted Jesus to speak is the same Spirit that prompted Paul to write. So the Spirit of God is throughout the New Testament plus the Old Testament, and it can bring us into some challenging debates. Hallelujah. And these debates can bring divisions and even animosity. So today we'll pray for peace and harmony in this building. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to your voice, to the words that you're speaking, Lord. For we are soon going to be leaving, and we need to know and understand the truth. I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The anointing of God usually starts on people who have been called to minister, who have been called to sing. The anointing of God is sometimes mistaken for the character of the man. You feel that man is a real saint of God, where in reality, you see the anointing. And once the anointing wears off, he's down to his natural self, where he does make mistakes. So watch, don't kill the messenger just because he has a message for God. Sometimes people are angry. Most times people are angry at the messenger instead of the one who gives them the message. In Acts chapter 2 in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in these days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Well, the scripture is here. The question is, has it happened to any of us? That is a question. When I study the Word of God, I study to show myself. I'm approved of God, but when there's a challenging question, a challenging scripture, I ask myself, has it ever happened to me? And if not, why not? Am I against it? Have I been taught against it? Have I been listening to this certain tabernacle besides Jesus that is standing there? How much time do we spend in the tabernacle of Jesus, and how much time do we spend in the tabernacle of our upbringing or of our tradition or of our favorite teachers? That will determine your outlook on Scripture. Scripture is the same today as it was yesterday. Nothing has changed. So if the Bible teaches us that your sons and daughters shall prophesy, is it happening amongst us? Is it happening in our families? Is there a hunger and a thirst for God that where the Spirit of God is being proclaimed? Well, if that's happening, then we are on the right track. If it's not happening, we need to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul made an interesting statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, and that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." So here the Apostle Paul is identifying the true preacher of Christ. There has to be an identification that the power of God is moving. Not somebody who puts up organizations or religious rules and regulations. The power of God needs to move. And if it doesn't move in your life, here is what I want to advise you. Do not speak against those who do move in the power of God, because you may not understand some things. I've seen the power of God move. I've been to one place down in Toronto where the power of God was so strong, I could not hardly stand it. But at the same time, try to come against those or try to battle those who say this stuff comes from the devil. I tell you, it just grieves the Spirit of God. If it grieves, you know and understand, you can't watch it over TV and expect to experience the same spirit as when you're there. But when you're there, you feel the presence of God. You feel the joy in your heart. You feel that incredible move of the Holy Ghost that you cannot but understand and accept that must be God. And it says, our faith stands in the power and not in the wisdom of man. Hallelujah. How many of us have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to even give you a simpler answer. Have you ever cast out a devil? And I may ask, there's lots of them around all over the place. I may ask, why not? What's the problem? Or don't you see it? Don't you believe in it? The big problem with where Jesus was hampered was because of their unbelief. So the Bible teaches us that power has to be amongst us. It has to be there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here's something interesting. Now, sir, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So the word ignorant means he wants you to understand. Ignorant means you don't know better. And you don't understand. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So the Apostle Paul writes through the Holy Spirit's intuition. So it's the Holy Spirit that is actually saying through his words, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant of the things that are going on. I want you to understand so you know where you stand. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 8. For to one, here's how the Spirit works. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge is different from wisdom. Being smart is not necessarily being wise. A wise person can determine what true wisdom is. For to one is given by the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit. Here is a gift that I a lot of times have when I minister to people. The Lord will give me a word of knowledge. And I speak to the person and ask him if he's got the problem. It's usually, in most cases, not to down him, but to lift him up, to show him a problem. And sometimes that word of knowledge gives faith. In most cases, that word of knowledge gives the person faith that God is interested in him or her. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Faith that you can do something. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. I know we had one lady come to prayer meeting once. I have known her since I was a kid, but I've lost track of her. And she came to prayer meeting. And I looked at her as I ministered to her and I said, the Lord is healing you. And I pointed to the bottom, to a low point in her stomach where God was showing me she was being healed. It was a word of knowledge. And she started to cry. And I asked her, why are you crying? And she said, I was just diagnosed with cervix cancer a week ago. Well, I said, well, the Lord is showing me that he's going to heal you. Within a couple of months, she had another exam, and guess what? The cancer was gone. Was that from my power? Was that my smartness? Was that my wisdom? No, it was the word of knowledge that the gift of God was in me. And I built up her faith to the point where she just couldn't keep herself but start to cry. She believed it and she was healed. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophesying. There are some interesting prophets on the scene today. I just enjoy listening to them. And many of them jump on the bandwagon. You got to use wisdom when you listen to prophets. You wait till it happens and then you're okay, this guy is real. And we got a couple of them that prophesied in 2014 that Donald Trump will become president, that they will try to impeach him, and it's not going to work. He is going to turn the country around regardless how bad things turn. And these prophecies were made in 2014. I looked at the guy, and he's young looking, and I figured, are you for real? Yes, he was for real, because it came true. He prophesied it in 2014. Now, that is the gift of prophecy. It says, then there's another, a discerning of spirits. How do you discern spirits? First of all, if none of those gifts are working in you, be careful how you call yourself a discerner of spirits, because you may not even be operating in the power of God. It's to another, there's given what? Different kinds of tongues. How many churches today are ridiculing the gift of tongues? They call it's from the devil. And I've had my arguments with people about that. But here is how God shows me how tongues work. God will always prophesy in the Old Testament through a prophet to prophesy something that will happen. So if he uses your mouth to prophesy or to decree something, then he is operating legally. Did you know that God has to operate legally? That's why he does not take the abortion clinics and turn them and twist them. That's why he does not go and kill off Obama. That's why he doesn't kill Nancy Pelosi. He operates legally. He is waiting for the prayer of the saints to level the playing field. He's waiting for the abortion clinics to be shut down so Satan's power of nullifying the prayers of the people to be shut down. So how many of you know here that every month we pay from our checks to kill babies? How many of us know this? How many in the churches in Canada are riled up and are talking against it? But every month we pay X amount of dollars to kill babies. So why should God answer our prayers if we're not even going to step out and say it's wrong? Well, in the near future, a lot of this stuff is going to be overturned. How about the interpretation of tongues? I once was at a prayer meeting where we had a fight with a demon. And let me tell you, there was a lady there, first time. And we started praying in tongues over that person. And that lady started to tell us exactly what we were praying. And we were able to efficiently deal with the demon that was there. That was fun. Some of you remember that, eh? Hey, hallelujah. We had a good time. It was a rough battle, but we won. Why did we win? Because God intervened by telling us exactly what to do. These were the gifts of the Spirit operating right there. What do we do about it? Should we pursue them? Or should we say, well, that's not for me? Or these things went out with the apostles. What tabernacle are you listening to? Are you listening to the tabernacle of Jesus or your own little pet tabernacle? If you're going to follow Jesus, he's going to show you stuff that's going to blow your mind. But I want to make one little prediction. With that revelation comes persecution. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible teaches us. Listen to this in John chapter 8 in verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where is the truth? Here. That's the truth. Everything written there is the truth. It's written by the Holy Spirit, except sometimes the Apostle Paul puts in his own few ideas when it comes to women dressing and all that stuff, or whatever it is. Anyways, they shouldn't even have asked him the question. What is the truth? The truth is what I've been teaching here about the Holy Spirit, about salvation, about what God wants us to do. Going into all the world, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, healing the sick. That's the truth. We need to follow the truth of God. Many will claim, well, the truth of God is, and the commandments of God is, don't smoke, don't drink, don't go to watch pornography, don't do this, don't do that. You know what? That should be automatically when you become a Christian. That shouldn't be a law to you at all. It shouldn't even be in your daily life. So what else is the truth of God? Following where God called us to go. Where is he calling you to go? He called me to preach once years ago. And I said, Lord, if it be thy will, I'm going to follow you with all I got. And I did. It cost me quite a bit. I want to show you another thing. What it costs if you dare to follow the Lord. There's an interesting scripture in verse 4, in verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? How do you like that? I started out telling people the truth. Did I make enemies? Oh, yes. I made enemies. To the point where I was excommunicated. To the point where I was called the biggest deceiver that ever lived. To the point where people didn't even want to associate with me. I used to have a lot of friends. I used to be a big party guy. Lots of booze, lots of everything. And, you know, lots of friends. But the moment I changed to new wine, something happened. I started preaching the gospel of Jesus. I started making enemies. And they were real. They were not my imaginations. People did not at all want to be in my company. Why? Because they had become my enemies. Personal friends becoming your enemy because you tell them the truth. I want to ask you a question. Are you going to risk becoming your enemy because you tell them the truth? When it comes to the gospel, it shouldn't even be a question. Yes, I will risk it. I will risk it, you becoming my enemy, when I tell you about Jesus. How about telling you about the principles of the Bible? Will I take the risk to becoming your enemies? Yes, I'll even risk that. When it comes to arguing about a football team or Ford or GM, there doesn't matter who has the truth. The truth is irrelevant there. So why should I risk making somebody an enemy over some materialistic thing? But when I see, and that's what we all should see, if we see somebody not walking righteously, if we see somebody missing the call of God, dare to make an enemy by telling him the truth, because God will reward you. It doesn't matter. If they become an enemy because of the truth, then let them be an enemy. I know we've had people leave this church because I told them the truth. I showed them in the Bible. I cannot agree with that. So they scurry out of here. I remember when I was a young Christian, I had Bible to Bible, studying the Word of God, explaining the way of salvation. In the end, yeah, I see what is written, but that's far too easy. I cannot accept that. Thus becoming an enemy. Interesting. Turning against me and afterwards believing all the stories that are thrown against you that Satan conjures up. And that's what's happening in the churches today. People step out in the truth. People step out in the will of God. And then we have thousands of people who proclaim they know better than the guy. They have no idea what God is calling them to do, but they're the experts at judging. So we need to be careful what we do. God did a good one on me years ago, and I want to explain this. I was once a policeman of God. I got this information from these people who are doing this and who are doing that. And my job was to warn everybody. Till one day the Holy Spirit got my attention. And I'm telling you, the ripping he gave me, I don't want you to experience. So since then, I have learned to keep my mouth shut as much as possible when it comes to being another preacher or a brother in Christ. You try to be quiet. Maybe there are things you don't understand. I'm telling you this. I will risk this to become your enemy just because I know what I had to experience. I don't want you to experience it. And God told me, I didn't appoint you to be a policeman. I appointed you to be my spokesman for the gospel. You go and preach the gospel and leave these other people to me. And I said, yes, sir, I'll do that. And I'll let everybody know about it at the same time. So, have you ever experienced the power of God in your life? You may look at somebody and say, ah, that can't be of God. They're acting too peculiar. Well, what do you know? You're sitting on your butt at home watching it on TV. You've never had the experience. How can you decipher what is of God and what is of not of God? Look at what Scripture says. When you go through the Bible, the strange things that happen. When Jesus came along, you saw demons running for sow herds, just running down the cliff, 2,000 of them drowning. You saw Jesus coming along and you saw people start screaming. You saw Jesus coming to church and guess what? The devil started screaming at him. How did they scream? They screamed through the person's mouth. I know you who you are. You are the Son of God. What have we to do with you? Are you coming to torment us before our time? Yes, their torment is coming. But in the meantime, they'll try to torment us. In the meantime, they'll try to detour us. In the meantime, they'll try to deceive us. This is where we walk with. Not by the deception that is in our minds, but in the Word of God. So this is a challenging message today. Where do we stand? Are the gifts of the Spirit operating in us? If not, then we need to start looking for them. And the only reason I'm giving you this message is because I've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit to the point where I sometimes don't even want to share it because of unbelief. So it's better to stay quiet. Hallelujah. Because one of these days, God will open our eyes and we'll all see the majestic power of God that He worked through us. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. And by the way, before I close out, get rid of that other tabernacle. Just put a stick of dynamite under it and blow it to smithereens. There's only one tabernacle, and that's the tabernacle of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
When you get to heaven, as you surely will, if the Savior's name you own, after you have greeted those you love the best who are standing round the throne, yes, my Lord, you may look for me, for I'll be there. When you stand in a rapture on some starry height, gazing on some glorious view, yes, my Lord, you may look for me, for I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there, hallelujah. Glory to songs of praise unto the Lamb. When you hear the ransom with their harps of gold shouting glory to His name, glory to God, you may look for me, for I'll be there, 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 I'll be there. You may look for me, for I'll be there. See the Savior who has brought you there, and with joy behold His face.